Lord. Let your powerful, let your voice be heard as you change our hearts. Holy Spirit, rain down. You are our helper. You are the God who remembers us, Holy Spirit. You remind us. You reveal to us the heart of the Father. You show us secret things unveiled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto you. And you keep nothing to yourself. For what the Father reveals to the Son reveals to you, and you to us, and us to the world, to those who are of faith. We receive the rain of grace, of the goodness of God. Sanctifier of souls, sanctify us. We give you praise, Most High God, for this wonderful privilege accorded us once again to come into your presence. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who wars for us, fights for us, who establishes your perfect will and shuts down every accusation of the enemy. Exalted Father, be exalted. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Oh, comforter, you're my friend. Touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, 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 rain down. Come on, let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change. Your name, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise, Father, for all things. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for His grace. We thank God for His goodness. And thank God for every one of you that are here. Worship Him. Thank you. Seated. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God is good. Amen. Today is a special day. And what God will do, He has done. But there is something that you and I must be reminded of today and every day henceforth. That this that the Lord has set on His mind to do, He is not doing on the basis of our righteousness in terms of our doings, but in spite of it. God is going to do what God is going to do. Amen? And I cannot take any credit for it. Please, saints, don't forget that. Don't forget that. That henceforth, what God is going to sovereignly, in the supremacy of His grace, do is not a result of your works or my works, but a result of His enabling grace, mercy, loving kindness, for His kingdom's sake. Amen? For His name's sake. For His kingdom's sake. That is not just a statement that is referencing spiritual things, as in the move of the Spirit of God, the giftings of the Holy Spirit, and that I'm talking about in every area of your life. That means in the area of your education, that means in the area of your business, that is in the area of your lifting weights, that is in the area of anything. Can you capish? Okay. Don't get arrogant and think, I did this, 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 this. Look at me. Well, let me share a testimony. And the reason you want to share the testimony is not about, oh, look at what God did, but look at me. Mighty man of God, mighty woman of God. Don't do this. What did I say? Don't be arrogant. Don't do it. Don't what? Do it. Don't what? Do it. How many times did I say it now? 3, 4, 6. Many times. So you cannot say you did not hear it. How do you say it in Ukrainian? Any Ukrainians here? You don't speak it. You're Ukrainian, but you don't speak it. We should lay hands on you. How will you say it in Polish? Huh? Ay, ay, ay. Why did I? Why? Who sent me this message? Okay, whatever she said, don't do it. This is not going to be about you and I. This is going to be about God. You are the front. But he is the doer. You're just the front. Without him, you can do nothing. Do you remember me showing you a glove? This is past winter now, so. Oh, yeah, there's a glove. There are gloves around here. Somebody from the back, get me a glove, please. Quickly. Run down here with a glove. We have lots of those here. Hallelujah. Perfect. Thank you, Lord. Excellent. The Lord bless you richly for bringing this glove. Amen. One will do. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this useless glove. You see it? It can't move that, but it looks like a hand. See it? That's a hand. This can do stuff, this one can't. You know who this is? That's you. That's you. Can't do nothing. Can't grab this glass of water and make me drink it until the hand goes into the hand. This is not my size. Hallelujah. Well, it doesn't matter. It's going to fit. This is not O.J. Simpson. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But the very fact that it gets in there, you see the glove. But now it is alive. Now it has power. It was useless before. But when the hand went into the hand, when the Son of God went into the Son of Man, it got power. It lifted that. It tapped on the flower. It grabbed the glass of water. Ah, good tasting water. Useless became useful. Can you imagine this glove now saying, "It's me! I did it!" The hand says, "So you did? Okay. Let's see exactly how much you can do without me. Because it's you, right? Prayer warrior. Do it! Okay, I'm going to do it all by myself." Uh-oh. I thought you could do it. You are so powerful. You are so capable. You can do it. That's what happens to arrogant fools. It is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. There's no God in this. It's me, my education, my managerial skills, my administrative skills, my doctorate degree, my study of theology and psychology. I know exactly what to do. And you make a fool of yourself because you find out that the things of the Spirit move in another frequency. Another frequency. You know, you can blow on certain whistles and your natural ear doesn't hear it. But the dogs around start going, oh! They hear it and their ears pop up. So what are they making all that noise for? They hearing it. But you can't hear it. A different frequency. This morning, as I was sharing with you, God took me to a different frequency, and I started to see certain things in another realm from a different perspective. I was seeing stuff. It was not in the natural, because with the natural eyes, I cannot see what I am seeing. So is God shifting you and I right this very moment, shifted you to another frequency. God is fine-tuning different ones. Well, you know the incredible thing about it is that whatever it is that God wants done, he had already done. He didn't do it now. He'd done it way before you were born. And all he's doing is awakening that particular aspect of your life. And now you are awakened to it. And you think, oh, it just happened. No, before it was, it was. Hallelujah. Nothing new. It's just new to you. When you get to tomorrow, tomorrow will be new. But tomorrow is old to God. He's been with you on this day from eternity past. Even before the world was created. Even before he created the world, he was already in the world. For the Bible says Christ died even before the foundations of the earth. Even before the earth was made, Christ already died. But at the fullness of time, Christ died. But he already died. And everything was just typifying, was a type of what was already done, not of what was going to be done. Oh, it was just a reflection of that which was already done. A shadow. You cannot have a shadow of something if the thing was not there. So wherever... Whenever God gives you a promise, it's based on the fact that He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's already finished and completed, done, final, being period, finished. Wrap the envelope, close it, mail it, arrive there in your hand, in your mailbox, it is done. God does not say the check is in the mail and then starts writing the check. That's what men do. The check is in the mail. Okay, that means I'll get it in 2 days. I guess so. When they start saying, I guess so, you know, they're going to place the blame on Canada Post when the real blame is them. That's not God. If God says, it's in the mail. It's in the box. Just go to the mailbox and get it. You know, sometimes I place an order for an item on Amazon Express, and I see they said will be received by the next day, and I'm thinking, what are these people talking about next day? How is that possible? Next day, you're going. I just typed in the stuff and just paid for it, and then you're telling me that tomorrow by this time it's going to be there. And would you know it? When they said next day it's going to be there, it is there. That is Amazon. That's natural. What do you think about God? Come with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Joshua, the high priest. That is, in real terms, the name of the Lord also. Joshua is Yehoshua. We call him Jesus, but his name is Yehoshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. And he is, the Bible calls him here, the high priest. This name is the name that means Jehovah is salvation. He is the high priest. And he's standing before the angel of the Lord. He's standing beside or before the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says, and Satan standing at his right hand. Satan, the adversary, is standing at the right hand of Joshua. Purpose? To resist him. The position of Satan is to resist him. In actuality, the word of God says, and Satan standing at his right hand to Satan him. That word resist there is the word Satan. Are you with me? So Satan, the adversary, is standing there, and his purpose is to be an adversary. To resist Joshua. But not to just resist Joshua. To resist the angel of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that the enemy comes to try to contradict whatever God is doing. When God is dealing with you, here comes the enemy and saying, that cannot happen. That cannot happen. That is not true. You cannot do that. Verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. If the Lord says, the Lord rebuked thee, on the basis of what license are you standing and saying, I rebuke you, devil? On the foundation of what word? On the foundation of what word? Even angel Michael did not bring railing words against Satan, but said, the Lord rebukes you. So we have the pattern. It is the Lord. It has always been the Lord. When you are dealing with demonic forces, you say, the Lord rebukes you. The word of God is against you. It's not me. I'm just a simple glove. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen, the God who had chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Is this not a light piece that has been plucked out of fire? Is this not a being, a person that has been plucked out of the fire of hell? Verse 3. Why is the enemy busy rebuking or resisting and pointing his finger and Sataning? Because it says, now Joshua was what? Clothed with what? Filthy garments. And stood before the angel. He's the high priest. And he has on filthy garments. Is the resistance of the enemy based on a particular reality? Yep. He has filthy garments on. Well, what does God want to do? God is the God of restoration. Hallelujah. And watch this. Watch this. Verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I'm going to give you new clothes. These are not the clothes that you brought. I'm going to give you clothes that I brought just for you. It's the garment of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. Now, we've got an issue here. So what is the issue? The issue says, and I said, who is the I? Who is the I? The I is the man, Joshua, coming to agreement with the word that is spoken. It's you coming into agreement with the word that's been spoken over your life and declaring, I, by the grace of God, I am what God says I am. By the grace of God. It is repeating and rehearsing what God has already declared. It is tapping into the frequency of God. God is saying, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Stood by. But the man is saying what God is saying. Verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested. Now, don't get lost with that word. Protested. It's not like the word as we mean it to be today. Protested, and we think about a protest. The word is the word oud. And it simply means began to say over and over again. So just like Joshua is saying, the angel is saying over and over again, repeating round and round and going around the man of God. But the Bible says, verse 5, look at the last words of verse 5, 3, 5. And the angel of the Lord stood by. But the next word, the word oud, is not a word that's talking about standing. It's about a word that keeps on repeating. Replay, replay, rebuild, restore, 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 rebuild, rebuild, revival, revival. Righteousness, righteousness. Saying the same thing, saying the same thing over and over, over and over, and over and over and over and over and over again. Verse 6. He's saying it unto Joshua, saying, what is he saying? Thus said the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways. That's what he was saying. If you walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, if you listen to my instructions, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Who are these that stand by? Angel. The angelic host. Someone give you a place to walk, to move with the angels. Hallelujah. From filthy rags, filthy garments, to moving into another realm. A realm of angels. You know, when people skydive, they see from a different dimension. If you're on the ground, you can only see so much. person up there is seen from a totally different dimension. It glides through. Well, God wants to take you and I to that realm when you see from above, not from beneath. A totally different perspective. You know what that means? It means that you will not always be understood by natural-minded people. Chickens don't understand what eagles see. You know what that means? Don't argue the point. If the chicken cannot understand what the eagle is saying, what's the point trying to convince the chicken? Who is the fool? The chicken or the eagle that's trying to convince the chicken? Things of the spirit are spiritually discerned. I don't need to explain myself to anybody. What I see is what I see. I don't know how you can say that. And I don't understand why you can understand it when you don't see it. But there's a realm when God says, I'll get, if you just follow and walk in my ways. These are the criteria. If thou wilt walk in my ways, one. And if thou wilt keep my charge, the place that I place you in, and you take your stand and you take care of it, two, then thou shalt judge my house. Three, and shall also keep my courts. Four, and I'll give thee places. I will give you what? Places. I'll give you a realm. I'll give you a portion. It doesn't mean that he will give you all the places. It just means that he will give you places. That means the place that he has not given to you, don't go walking there. If God has not given me Malaysia, I have no business going to Malaysia. But you're a mighty man of God. You can go to Malaysia. Malaysia needs you. Malaysia needs you. Malaysia needs you. Malaysia needs you. I don't care. If that's not the portion that God has given to me, Malaysia, I will pray for you so that the person that God has given to you can come to you. But God has not. But the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't just say it to me. He said it to all of us. But he didn't tell me. When God has given you a place, he has given it to you and you are protected. That's the realm he's given to you. Now God can give you every place and say to you, you are qualified to go wherever you want to go and speak wherever you want to go. Those are the places as he has given to you. But if he's not giving it to you, don't start imitating somebody else. Well, I see, you know, Pastor Zeno is going to all kinds of countries. I have to go too. Please, don't go, because there's some demons there that know that you have no permission. They'll kill you. You do what God says for you to do. The issue is not that you cannot, it's that God wants every one of us to remain humble and understand that without him, we can do nothing. Somebody listening? Do what God has assigned for you to do. If he has not assigned it for you, don't. Don't. Let's go on. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. They are men wondered at. This man that are sitting, people are wondering about them because of what God is doing. It doesn't make sense. He says, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Let's go on. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. There's a stone I've laid before Joshua. And watch this. This gets really interesting. It says, upon one stone shall be what? 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I'll remove the iniquity of that land in 20 days, in 10 days, in 5 days, in 3 days, in 1 day. I'll clean it up in 1 day. Something just changed just there. Don't know what. Oh. Mandoro will shake it. I'm on fire. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. This is different. Oh, praise the Lord. Something has changed. I pray that what God is doing right now reaches every son and every daughter in this house. I've been around the presence of God long enough. Forty-something years. And in all of my life, what I'm feeling right now, I have never experienced. I continue, Jesus. He said, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Says, in that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. It goes on. Mass, Lord, mass, mass. And the angel that talked with me came again. The angel talked with him. And this is going to be a new experience for you and I. The Lord already told us that. Talking. And we did say, I guess 2 or 3 days ago, when the Lord led us into this particular sphere, we said at that time that we make that connection but no connection with anything that is not of God. Hallelujah. So then the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. Waked me. In other words, awakened me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Jesus. I think that's exactly what I'm experiencing right now. Waked me. Tap me. Come on. He's awake, but now he's awake, awake. He's awakened to another realm. May the God of heaven cause us to be awakened. Glory be to God. As a man wakened out of his sleep. Next verse. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold. It's like we have the menorah here every Sunday. A candlestick of all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon. What do lamps do? Lamps are there to bring light. What do eyes do? With eyes you see. Amen? So the Bible tells us about eyes being dim. That means you can't see clearly. It says, seven lamps there and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. So that's what I see. I see seven lamps and I see pipes. And then it goes on. Watch this. And two olive trees by it. Ah. Glove. Two olive trees. What is God saying? Those lamps are getting the oil from the olive trees. Because the olive trees have olive oil, and that's how lamps were fed. One upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Next verse. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord, I don't know. I can see it, but I don't know what I'm seeing. What does this mean? That's the very first stage. That you come to a place where things are happening, I don't know what's going on. What's going on? Say, Pastor, why are you giving us this message? I'm getting you ready. As I'm ready, we all need to be ready. And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6. This is what it says. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the what? The word of the Lord unto whom? Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it is not by what? It's not by might. And it is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is not by your might. It is not by your power. It is by my Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we must not forget. That this that the Lord is doing is by His Spirit. Hallelujah. You get that much? It is by the Spirit of God. Who is Zerubbabel? He's a man of God, we know that. But he has a strange name. Because this name has something attached to it called Babel. You see it? Zerubbabel. When man first spoke in tongues, on the day of Pentecost, the word is glossolalia, which means to speak gibberish, something that's not understood but is understood. When man's language was confused, it was in a place where man was talking about, we will do this, we're going to build a tower, we're going to build something and reach into the heavens. And that place was called what? Babel. So what is Zerubbabel? This is amazing. Because the name Zerubbabel actually means sown. Like a seed that is sown. In Babylon. Sown. And Babylon, just like Egypt, represents the world. Babylon represents the merchandise, the economic systems. The governmental systems of the world. So what is this statement about? God saying, I'm going to use you in the world. We're thinking about getting out of the world. And God is saying, no, I want to use you in the world. You are not of the world, but you're going to be in the world. And you're going to shake this thing. How are you going to do it? By the word of grace. Not the phony grace that causes men to think that can live in sin and well, I'm only human. No, the grace of God is that which enables me to live the kind of life God wants me to live in spite of the pressures of the world, because what's inside of me has nothing to do with the iniquities of this world. We're still talking about Joshua. Now we're talking about Zerubbabel. And God says, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but by my Spirit. Said the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who are you, mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying what? Grace! Grace unto it. This is how Zerubbabel is going to defeat the strongholds, these mountains that stand in the way and said, you cannot come here. He's going to say, grace! Grace! By the grace of God, I overcome you, lying devils. Come down! Grace, grace, grace by the Spirit of God, not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Shouting grace. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Watch this. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Our Zerubbabel is our Lord. Sown into the world, sown into Babylon. And everyone who is bound to him is like one sown. We start, we finish. Glory be to God. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. When we walk in love together, we're in unity as God's people, the world gets to know that he was sent. 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Do you know the first day this church was planted? The first message ever preached in this church. At that time, we were called Seven Oaks Evangelical Church. I say in this church because it's the same pastor. It's continued on. Very first message. And I saw the man who preached that message yesterday on television, on Faith TV. His name is Willard Thiessen. Remember him? It's a new day. Oh, yes. And I was watching it. It was the end of the program. And I'm watching. I said, that's Willard. I wonder where he is. Is he still in Phoenix? How I wish I could see him. And that's the first message he preached. And that's the passage he preached from. He says, for who had despised the day of small things, small beginnings? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. You know, until about an hour ago, I did not know that this was the message that the Lord wanted for us. I was still talking to the Lord, what do you want to say? In part of my experience this morning was exactly that. And I was talking to Mama maybe about 2 hours ago. I said, it was like how God's eyes goes to and fro in all the earth. And when the Lord told me this is where he wanted to come today, and I started reading it, and I read that, I came to, which run to and fro, I said, holy God. Yikes. That's where. Because my eyes, if you were watching, you will see my head moving all over the place. I was in another realm looking at stuff. I was seeing stuff, just moving. And I was saying to myself, this must be just like your word says, your eyes moving to and fro, because that's what was happening. Next verse. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick upon the left side thereof? Next verse. And I answered again. And I what? Answered again. So we have this discourse going back and forth. One time it says, and the angel of the Lord said. And it says, Daniel says, I. So who is, and I answered again and said unto him, what are these two olive branches which through the golden, two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? I ask the question again. Next verse. And he answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. How many times has he said, no, my Lord, now? Twice. He's seeing things but doesn't understand that what it is. You know what else? He is smart enough to ask questions and not assume anything. Guess what you and I are going to have to do now? Ask questions and assume nothing. Because to think that you know when you don't know is pride and arrogance. God hates it. God loves people that ask questions. Did you notice that the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in the temple? That they were surprised, you know, at how knowledgeable he was, not based on what he was teaching, but the kind of questions he was asking. Is that not what the Bible says? You are amazed at how smart he was based on his questions. Questions are good. He said, no, I don't know. Next verse. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I have two that are standing. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. This is another realm. No, you took me back to verse 1. Take me. Where were we? Verse 14? Okay. So we're going to the next verse now, and that will be 5, right? The Bible says, then I turned and lifted up mine what? Eyes, and looked, and behold, a flying scroll. 2. We'll be done shortly. Whatever that means. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. This is another realm. You see something that's flying, and you're able to tell the measurement of it? From I don't know, we've gone to another level. A level of being able to discern certain things. that can only be discerned by you physically using a measuring rule, a measuring device. He's talking about 20 cubits and 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Guess why he's able to get it? Because what he's been used to all this while is curses. He can understand that. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. He knows. This is the realm that we've operated in. I know this stuff. So now the angel is telling him details on what he thinks he knows. He says, everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And you moved up. Go back. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth, stealeth, sweareth, shall be cut off as on that side according to it. You know, those two explain Ananias and Sapphira. They stole, they swore. First thing God gets rid of is those that will embrace falsities, pretend that they are doing all and they are not. It says, cut off. Cut off. Snip, snip. Next verse. I will bring it forth, God says, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. I am going to clean up this mess. Let's go on. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an heifer that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is the resemblance through all the earth. An heifer is a measuring, is a measurement. In the liquid form, it's about 40 liters or 9 gallons in the liquid form. I don't remember what it is, the measurement in terms of solid. He says, this is their resemblance through all the earth. In other words, there is going to be a standard. Let's go on. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the heifer. It's a woman sitting in the midst of the heifer. It's getting weird now, eh? I'm going to come back and spend time on this because I need to go somewhere else. And he said, this is wickedness. Remember what I said to us very early about what God was saying? He says, this is the year of the woman, but don't be a what? A Jezebel. Remember that? So this is a woman in the midst of the heifer. And God says, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the heifer. and cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. In other words, shuts the mouth. Let's go on. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out what? Two women. So the first one is locked up. Now comes two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. When we talk about storks, what do we're talking about babies, yeah? And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. So these two women, so we have a total of three now, yeah? Okay, let's go on. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, without do these bear the ephah? It goes on. Next verse. And said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar. And it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Next. And I turned. And I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were the mountains of brass. And the word of God continues on and begins to tell us about two contrasting worlds and what we face as God's people is these two contrasting formats. Let me leave Zechariah alone for a moment because I like to visit it much more efficiently as we keep on building. But I want to settle all of this so that we know exactly where we are in God's economy concerning all of this. We started with Joshua, and Bible says something about his iniquity, the filthy garments, and how God shifted it. Remember that? Okay. Now, let us finalize by coming back to what has led us to this point. And I will encourage you to finish the passage in chapter 6, because when we come to the end of, towards the end of chapter 6, you will see the crown that is put on Joshua's head. That mitre that we're talking about in chapter 3, we're going to see the manifestation of it, because God's word says you've got to bind the strong man first to spoil his house. And what God is doing right here is about dealing with that strong man, that witchcraft spirit, that wicked spirit is dealing with it. And it's going to take women to deal with the woman. You know, Mama always tells me, you don't understand women. Women understand women. I say, okay. And it's amazing to me how women understand women. And there are certain things that God has apportioned to women to do that me, a guy, I'm not called to do. So I need to step away and let the women do their thing. If God has been saying this is the year of the woman, women in this house need to begin to rise up. You see any nonsense going on in the realm of the spirit, you cut it down immediately and leave no room for any spirit that is not of God to operate in any realm. Praise the Lord. Godly women. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 36. I'm going to take it from verse 30. In Ezekiel 36, God is dealing with the people of Israel and talking about their iniquities and how bad things have been and on and on and on and on. And then he says, actually, take me back. Let me go to 26. Let me start from verse 26. I'll start from about verse 26. Verse 33 is one of the key verses, but let me start it out here in verse 26. God says, remember, the filter garment, he says, take it off and give him new garment. Yeah? It's the same thing as taking away the old junky heart. And we talked about that about 2 or 3 days ago, right? And giving a new heart. And so verse 20 says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive, a heart that is responsive, a heart that beats according to my direction. Hallelujah. And therefore, there's no rottiness in your structure. 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. In Zechariah says, and cause you to walk in my ways. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You keep court in Zechariah. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. 29, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. Uncleannesses. Interesting word. And I'll call for the corn. I'll cleanse you from all of your uncleannesses. Every debris, every nonsense that's in the way. It says, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. We learned something from Zechariah concerning Joshua. What did Joshua do? He said what God was saying. So what are we going to do now? We're going to say what God says. We're going to say, corn, come forth, be greatly increased, no famine here. Amen. Hallelujah. 30. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree. That's God saying. He says, I'm going to multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. No more reproach of famine. Even though you are among the heathen, whatever is happening to them is not happening to you. Separation. Hallelujah. We are not going to be defined by the world. I got a text from a dear brother just a few days yesterday. Said in the province of Quebec, he said 50 people can gather for church service, but they cannot sing. All kinds of rules. 50 people gather, but we cannot sing. Why? Because they don't want us to praise God? The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. I am not going to be defined by the world. Goes on. 31. Then shall ye remember. He says you're going to remember your evil ways, because you understand that whatever blessing you are experiencing is not because of Mr. Goody Shoes. No, this is going to be about me. You shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. And we've had that in varied ways. Next verse. Not for your sakes do I this. It's not because of you, said the Lord God, being known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded in your own ways, O house of Israel. He says, it's not because of you. I'm doing this because of me. Next verse. Thus said the Lord God, in the day. Someone say with me. In the day. That I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be built. The wasted areas shall be built. This morning when I came here, spent some time before the Lord, the Lord said, when you leave here, I want you to go back to the place where I brought you in the realm of the Spirit from San Bernardino, California. So I drove and I followed how he was causing me to drive, winding through different places. And I came to the place. And I reminded myself again, this is where God brought me. And on the 2nd of May, I was right here, and I saw the manifestation of the vision I saw way back in 1980. So I left there. And until now, I didn't know why the Lord did this. I turned into Leela, and on the left was a wasteland. Used to be. If you remember, the whole place was a total wasteland. It was like a place where they had garbage or what, just useless land. And the Lord says to me, do you see this? I said, yeah, I see it. He said, this used to be wasteland. Do you remember? I said, yes. I didn't know why we were having that discussion until now. Because this is perfect illustration. It is built up, isn't it? I said, yeah, beautiful condos. This is really nice. Wow, that useless piece of property. All beautifully built. It's amazing. I thought that was the end of it until now. The waste shall be built. The useless property. You remember the place? If you've lived in that area of town, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Pipeline and Leela, and on the left side, heading back east, all of that, all of those condos, that was wasteland. The perfect definition of wasteland. Yeah, all the way to by the hospital, you know, but between the hospital, just before the hospital, there was this Roman Catholic church or something. I don't know what it was. You know, but all the way to that place was all wasteland, but it's built. Next verse. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. Next verse. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Next verse. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. God is looking for desolate places. God is looking for places where people say, can any good thing come out of the north end? And saying, Watch me. In the day of his power, the people will be willing. Hallelujah. Let's wrap it up. Let's go. Thus said the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. I will yet be inquired of. That means I'm expecting you to ask me, talk to me. Ask me what I want you to do. Inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. I'm going to do it for them. And I will increase them with men like a flock. Hallelujah. I will increase them with men like a what? A flock. The Lord used another word a few days back about a fleet. Remember he talked to us about that? And goes on. As the flock of Jerusalem, Zechariah says, that I have chosen. In her solemn feast, guess what? That's the time that all the biggest amount of flock shows up during the feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.